There are some things you can count on, and one of them is change. Things will continue to change around us, and if you're planning for retirement, there are a lot of things that are within your control, but many that are not. So it's a good idea to constantly step back, take a look around you, and see what's changing in the context that your retirement will take place in. I'm Joe Casey, the host of the Retirement Wisdom Podcast, and today we'll be taking a look at a survey, the 21st annual survey, of 2,000 retirees and soon-to-be retirees on what's happening with their retirement and retirement planning. We'll talk about their behaviors and attitudes that were reflected in these survey results and talk about how it can help you plan for yours. My guest today is Nate Miles. He's the head of global client strategy and head of retirement at Allspring Global Investments. As the leader of this business, Nate leads a team of investment specialists centered on client type expertise, which enables Allspring to be more relevant and impactful with their clients. Nate joined Allspring from its predecessor firm, Wells Fargo Asset Management, and he had joined them from WisdomTree Asset Management, where he served as U.S. Head of Retirement Solutions. Nate Miles is a CFA, the Chartered Financial Analyst designation, and is a member of the CFA Society of Boston. Nate, thanks for making time for us today.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, Joe. Appreciate it.
So what's the most surprising finding in Allspring's annual retirement survey?
Yeah, if I could give you two, Joe, if you'll let me, I'll give you two. So I think that the one thing that we found out every year, our study says and relates how happy retirees are. So that wasn't new, but we are trying to get to the why. And one of the things we found this year for the first time was that on average, retirees could have their spending decline by 25% before it significantly impacted their happiness. So that was a bigger number than I expected, but was corroborated by the fact that when we asked them about their spending on things like their kind of needs, wants, and wishes, that only tallied up to about 64% of total income. So those numbers actually kind of jive together and I think are a nice story and a nice finding from this study. The second one that jumped out at me, Joe, was around target date fund usage. So our near retirees, so these are people that are 55 and older and still working with more than $200,000 in investable assets, only 17% of them had a preference for target date funds. And so that's consistent with, I would say, the data today, but not the expectation going forward that today's 20 and 30 year olds would have a large allocation of target date funds by the time they hit 55 or 60 years old. So that's some new news, and I think bears some deeper reflection.
Nate, what key trends are emerging on retirement readiness?
Yeah, so the first one I would say is a mind shift that takes place as people move from being a near retiree to a retiree. So near retirees are focused on the stability of their assets. So if you got $500,000, I'm really anchored to that number. Whereas once they shift to be retired, they actually start to go, what can my balance do for me? What will my income look like going forward? And so that, I think, A, leads them to be less stressed and happier in general. So that would be one. The second trend, a little bit more concerning, was that 38% of our near retirees reported that they provided some sort of financial assistance to friends or family members in the past year, 38%. So that's up from 21% last year. So that's a big jump and could have an impact on when people choose to retire. The other one that I would say is not new news for us. It's actually down a little bit, but I do think it continues to kind of confound me and be concerning, is that 35% of our retirees were exited from the workforce, either via job cuts or health-related issues. And so as you know, Joe, better than I do, that means less time to save and also equal longer time for that money to last. And it's not going to grow as much. And so that's kind of got a double or triple impact on people's retirement readiness. And then last one, if I could, drawdowns. So 25% of our near retirees expected to safely draw down 9% or more of their income in retirement. So pretty big number. Again, probably will require some education on that.
So this next one caught my attention in reading your report. How do pre-retirees rate their retirement readiness? And how do financial advisors view it?
Yeah, and there's a big gap here, as you probably saw. So advisors ranked their clients as 40% of them being generally ready for retirement. Near retirees were down below 40%. So there was actually a positive spread, I would say, there. Advisors believed them to be a little bit more prepared. But retirees were up around 77%. So clearly much happier. So overall, we had advisors about 50% of their client base being ready for retirement versus a total population of 64%. But that's really broken down between those two groups where the retirees were much more confident than near retirees. The second aspect there that I thought was interesting this year was where there were gaps between advisors and near retirees. And really the biggest divergence was in inflation, the health of clients, and the health of clients' family members. Those are really the big disconnects between advisors who have been through it a few times with their clients versus those retirees that are only going through it probably for the first time.
So what do people think is the quote unquote right age to retire today?
So retirement ages are a little bit all over the place. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword. So I'm going to give you the it depends answer, if that's okay. So the average age was 62. The most common age for retirement was 65, but we did have spikes at 55, 60, 62, and 65. So I've already given you four different numbers there to punt a little bit. Generally speaking, the right age, 50% of the time, is dependent on financial factors. What's my balance? How much income will I have in retirement? The other things around health and what will I do with my time were important, but not the main driver. The main driver continued to be financial matters. People did say that they had a preference once they did retire to work about 1 year longer, kind of in reflecting back. Current retirees were saying that.
So what role does work play in retirement today?
Great question. So only about 1 in 20 of our current retirees stated they work part-time. And generally speaking, 87% of the time, so more than generally, 87% of the time, they say that they're doing so by choice. So they're really happy to go back to work. It's fulfilling to them. It provides some income, but also gives them something to do. But it's a relatively small number at only 1 in 20.
One day I received a call from a podcast listener, and she said, "My husband needs you. He just doesn't know it yet." I did work with her husband as a coach and then later coached her using the Design Your Life process when she was ready to plan for her life after retirement. And it taught me a lot about how spouses and partners can see things quite differently, but get to the same place eventually. And a coaching process can help you get there faster with greater collaboration and alignment. Our next Design Your New Life in Retirement group coaching program starts on April 26th. And if you're listening today, you can take advantage of a special one-time offer if you act quickly. I'm looking for one spouse who wants to bring their spouse or partner for free. So if you sign up, you can bring your spouse or partner for free. You'll need to shoot me an email to do so, joec@retirementwisdom.com, and I'll provide the details. You'll see the link in the show notes for more information on the program, Design Your New Life in Retirement, starting on April 26th.
We did have 13% of current retirees who weren't working suggest that they may need to go back to work in retirement. So that number could go up a little bit. Both those are consistent with the prior surveys Allspring has conducted.
So what's going on with unretirement?
Yep. So I was wondering if you're going to go here. So that's the other population that we identified for the first time last year, but didn't have enough supporting data points to really comment on it publicly. So we went back this year and we said, let's dig into this. So 1 in 8 of our current near retirees, so 55 and older, but still working, were once retired. So they had to go back to the workforce. Surprisingly here, at least in my view, was that 83% of the time, they said that was by choice. But when you dig into the data a little bit more, Joe, what you find is that they tend to have less current income, less expected income in retirement, and lower overall financial assets. So while they say it was their choice to go back to work, they do appear to be less prepared for work. Interestingly, I would say two other data points, they do tend to be more advised than the rest of the population. So they could be getting good insight from their advisor saying, you know what, Nate, you're kind of running pretty close. It might be beneficial to go back to work. The other thing that we saw with this group that I thought was interesting was that they were more likely to report that there was some sort of financial surprise in the previous 12 months. So taxes jumped out at me as 48% of the time they identified that taxes were greater than they expected. And that may have had something to do with them going back to work and being unretired. But happy to do so, but generally a relatively large population.
And Nate, what regrets do people cite about retirement?
So this one, you would think would be easy. It was a little bit harder to find regrets because our retirees tend to be generally pretty happy. They don't tend to have much to complain about. Retirement is generally better than they expected. So I'll give you two. same side of a different coin. One was the too early crowd. We saw some that retired before age 50, 38% of the time suggested that it was too early. They wish they would have hung on and worked a little bit longer. So yes, they were able to retire, but I think they thought there was probably more that they could have done in the workforce and had that social component to it and stayed a little bit longer. So that was one in terms of the too early. And when they did state they retired too early, it was 5 years too early. So a pretty meaningful, I would say, period of time. The flip side is 39% said that they retired too late. Not surprised. So big number, but not surprising only because I think it's something like 69% of our retirees said it's better than they expect. So not surprising that once they are retired, like, yeah, this is pretty good. They find a way to make ends meet and they enjoy it. And they wish it would have kind of left the workforce just that little bit earlier.
And I appreciate you sharing these findings and all the data with us. One of the things I try to do in this podcast is leave people with action steps. And I'm wondering, what are one or two practical steps that you think people can take from the survey?
So I'll give you one for advisors and maybe one for the kind of near retirees and retirees. So the first is on the advisor front, I would say listening to your clients. What we saw from advisors is they thought their clients needed the most help in areas like asset allocation, diversification, and making their money last in retirement. But when you ask near retirees, what they say is, I need help budgeting and financial planning. I need help with long-term care. I need help with Social Security and Medicare. So there's a bit of a disconnect there between what people say they need and what advisors want to provide. Certainly asset allocation, diversification, very, very important, but we almost have to get there first. And I think so that would be one takeaway I would have for the advisors that might be listening. The other is on the individual side. And we joke sometimes here at Allspring that unfortunately, while most of our retirees are only going to retire once, we have some that are going to retire more than once, those unretired population, but none of them are like Uncle Monty. We're going to get 10,000 cracks at it, right? Just to get that exact right asset allocation. And so the idea that an individual should access advice from someone who's gone through with a client base 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times this year versus someone who's going to go through it maybe once or twice in their career is probably not a bad thing. What we saw in the data when we go through this is that people that access help tend to be less confident subsequently in their ability to make decisions, but more confident in the decisions that were made. So to me, that's the power of knowing. It's now I know what I don't know and feel better about my decisions. If I never accessed help, I wouldn't know what I don't know and I might not be in as good a place. And so I think that's a really good argument for accessing that high quality advice that we know is available in many places in the marketplace.
Thanks so much for making us smarter about retirement today.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Joe and Rinchus. Appreciate it.
It's time for the takeaway segment where I share what jumped out to me in this conversation with Nate Miles. And what you might think about adding to your to-do list following it. Number one, what will make you happy in retirement? It's great news to hear that such a high percentage of people in this survey are happy in retirement. But what about you? Think about what are the things that are really going to make you happy and satisfied in your retirement. It may or may not be the same thing as other people. You want to zero in on what are those key things you want to plan for and have lined up and in place. Number two, if your financial advisor thinks you're not ready to retire, find out why. I thought this was an interesting part of the conversation that came from the survey that a lower percentage of financial advisors think that their clients are ready to retire than the clients do. There's a gap there. So if that's the case with you, if you have a financial advisor A and B, if he or she thinks you're not ready, be curious and be open. Find out why. Probe. Get a sense of what the concerns are and what the potential action steps might be. And a related point, go in knowing what you want help on. And if that advisor can't provide it, ask for some recommendations. As he mentioned, there's a gap between what advisors think clients need and what the clients say they need. So ask for advice on things like planning for Medicare, budgeting, et cetera, and ask for referrals if that's not their expertise. Number three, is work, yes, work, going to be part of your retirement? There are a few different dimensions that we touched on here, and I'll add another. But there's the part-time aspect, which is appealing to many people. Is that something that is appealing to you? Is it in your field on a consulting basis or doing something different where you might gain some new skills, learn some things, or take on a new challenge? And the second dimension is unretirement. there are, as you mentioned, more and more people that are returning to work for some financial reasons, some for other reasons, non-financial ones like connectivity, collegiality, and the intellectual challenge that it can provide. What is it for you? And the last point I'll make, the one I want to add, is that it depends on how you define work. For some people, a retirement life of leisure is awesome. It's often what people think about. But is that really for you? Test it out by going on vacation for a lengthy period of time. Is that enough? Or are you going to want something else that keeps you engaged and challenged and productive? So the definition of work that I advise clients to use is, what projects, if it's not paid work, is it volunteering? But it could be projects, things you want to do. It could be big projects or a collection of small ones. Well, what are those things that are going to occupy their time, your time, that aren't leisure related? And how will that fit into what you have planned? And I think what we're seeing now is there's a potential people who are unretiring who didn't fully think this through. And a retirement life, a traditional retirement, wasn't really for them. So get in front of the work question. What part does it play in your future? Thanks for listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. You can browse all of our episodes at our website, retirementwisdom.com. My mission is to help you retire smarter by planning for both sides of the retirement equation.